Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man that needeth no introduction, the man with whom I thought was possibly dead.
I thought I was dead.
Captain Jack Barry. Oh, Jack, man. I've got a bone to pick with you.
Yeah.
We're going to air it out. We're going to air it out. Let's get it out.
Festivus.
Let's get it out.
Festivus, all right, man.
I thought, so... Okay, normal recording time comes around. No, it was like 2 hours before. Texted Jack. Hey, like we on tonight? We all good? Silence. Silence. Next hour comes around. Silence. Hits our recording time. Silence. I text in the morning. Dude, you good? Silence. At this point, I'm starting to think like, okay, did homie get in a... in a car wreck? Like, I texted you like, dude, are you down with a migraine? Like, I thought you were, and then just like pops up out of nowhere. Oh, hey man, sorry, but dude, you gotta text a homie. You gotta text me. Like, I was sitting here worrying because normally it's not radio silence from you.
Well, my phone was on silent, and when your phone's on silent, all else things kind of get pushed out of your mind, and you're only thinking about here's the army coming back in me.
Yeah.
Is that I push all that radio silence out, and then I just focus on my tasks in the mission.
Which was
dropping off my son.
Okay.
Driving to my house, to my mother-in-law's house, which is 20-30 minutes away.
Okay.
Yesterday it was like 33 minutes away. Then dropping him off, then going to our members meeting for the end of the year local church members meeting, in which we talked about our budget.
Okay.
We talked about, well, we installed new deacons, and then on top of that, we're going to probably have somebody go through elder candidacy. And so
it was a lot of local church stuff, which, you know what? It takes the edge off. At least you were doing something productive.
I know.
You know, at least you were doing something worthwhile. But I was, dude, got to text a homie. I was sitting here like, my man's down with either the wickedest migraine he's ever had, or he's dead.
Oh my gosh.
He's dead. Jack got the done run over by a reindeer.
See, this is funny because like I think about this like pre-cell phones. Like, you would have had that same mentality, would you have had that same mentality if this was pre-cell phone era or not?
Well, here's the thing. Like, there were pagers. So, you could have still paged me.
Pagers.
Dude, the younger generation has no clue.
Yeah.
Dude, zero. You could have paged me. Like, one page was like, call me when you can, no big deal. Two page, like, hey, like, finish what you're doing and call me. Three page, you know, that's when you know, okay, things serious. You gotta. And it was a two page night. it was a 2-page night for me. I would have been like, hey, bro, like, you know, just making sure I'm just checking on you. I was just worrying. Okay.
Oh, man.
I've already gone through one co-host in this podcast. I don't want to go through another one.
Well, that, I mean, at this point,
well, 100%. But at this point, like, if you're out, like, we're done. I'm not doing a third. I'm not going for a third. Like, this is it. It's just me and you, or it's ride until the wheels fall off.
Basically, I am like Chris Evans in the Captain America series. Like,
you are.
You have to, which is ironic because they talked about bringing him back for Doomsday.
Because nobody likes what's going on currently. That's why.
I'm really intrigued by the new Captain America movie that's going to come out with Thunderbolt Ross turning into Red Hulk.
Harrison Ford's so old, dude.
That's going to be interesting.
He is being held together simply by cocaine and ketamine. Like, homie, the only thing keeping him going right now is that.
Wow.
Yeah, he's so old. Anyway, Jack, how was Lord's Day? Was it good?
It's pretty good. I did mostly team lead security stuff.
Nice.
And then I serve communion towards the end. What else did I do? Lord's Day. I mean, and then we had like a bunch of stuff for members meeting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we usually do it to where all the members bring some sort of pitch-in, some sort of food. And it's based off your last name. So I think we just brought like a big bowl of salad.
Yeah.
And just had people go at it. And then we do like a game. And then from a game we did, so it was like all like Christmas Carol trivia, which was pretty fun. And then from that, we started to go into members meeting. We mostly talked about just some things over the year that we've seen evidences of God's grace. And then we swore in new members. So that was good. I will say 2/3 of those new members came from my community group. So somebody's pushing their weight in this church.
Look at you. You can't help but recruit. Jackson, he can't help but recruit, man. Look at you.
I don't know if that's saying something about
those numbers
my
up,
community group or not, but so yeah, there's that. And then we swore in new deacons, which surprisingly, this was the first time. So this is, I wouldn't say it was controversial for us, and I think we've talked about it before, but we, for the first time in our church's history, mind you, our church was kind of like a revitalization church. So I don't know if we were an SBC church before our current pastors took over. Okay. And, made us more, a little bit more like historically Protestant, I guess you could say, from that. But we mostly had, well, we just had all men as deacons, and we installed 3 women into deaconesses roles.
Woke.
And then a guy.
Woke. Slippery slope. Slippery slope.
Okay. Okay. Guy who agrees
with
me.
I know. Yeah. I'm making funny because that is the big debate, right? Is like, do you not, you know?
Yeah. And it's really, honestly, it's not, I don't think it's that controversial because one of them is a women's ministry lead.
Sure.
The other one was commissioned with her husband into children's ministry, and they're both retirees. Sure. Yeah. And then the other woman was for counseling situations.
Well, it's the argument, right? Because I think for a lot of people, and again, not all, because I think there's good arguments on either side, and it really comes down to the conscience of the elder team. Right.
Yeah.
And if you're a Reformed Baptist church, right, the beliefs of the congregation as well, because that's something that would be involve the congregation on that decision. Right. But, you know, it's either way. Right. Having clear, distinct understandings and lines of what the deacons do and what the purview authority of the deacons is versus the elders, you have to have that. Right. Because if those lines are blurred, whether you have men in there or women in there, you're not acting
in accordance to the biblical roles, right?
Yeah.
So I think where a lot of people get hung up is perhaps the experience that they have had in the past with women deacons is the deacons were acting much more in an elder role than they were a deacon role.
Oh yeah.
Which happens a lot.
Yeah.
You know, those roles can get blurred real easy. So yeah,
there was a good mix too, because mm-hmm. you could definitely tell our church is not going liberal in, sure. in a yeah, sense yeah. because yeah, yeah. we put forth another guy to basically be the fourth elder in our church. So sure.
yeah,
we definitely yeah. hold to the distinction that
absolutely
yes, the elder yes. pastor role is exclusive.
It was a joke on my part, and it is
but you know what? Yeah. People will take you seriously, Josh.
I know.
I'm just gonna say
it. I know. That. Just like, yeah, hey, but now yeah, you know, I understand. And you know, I want you to know you've been heard. Right? Just like I was trying to be heard yesterday when I was trying to text you.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Dude, we were trying to figure out what was going on.
Josh is gonna lambast me for the rest of the year because of this, people. So
well, I'm glad that the members meeting went really well. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the not so fun things were our really good deal that we had on that the school where we only paid the custodian fees and that was it.
Right.
The school district that we were in is like the last school district in the state of Washington to finally put the fees in for using the building.
Yeah.
So that bumps up our budget a little bit, and yeah. it's just like that's not fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's frustrating. That's
so
frustrating. Because you're set up teardown, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Same with us. I like, you know what? Like, this might be an odd opinion, mm-hmm. but coming from someone who has done both, I actually really enjoy set up teardown. And it might be, it might just be the Acts 29 in me that's like, kind of has this yep. like church on the go, church plant mentality that just, it's honestly just kind of in, like, I really enjoy that. That was an aspect of being in that network that I actually really thoroughly enjoyed. There might just be something about having that almost like a catechumic understanding of church that's like, yeah, like we don't know, like for right now we're here, you know, in 6 months we might be somewhere else, you know, and there's pros and cons to both because I think it is nice to have a building and like a dedicated space that you can have, you know, classes and counseling and things like that. But I can say just from personal experience, the amount of joy and unity and opportunities for service that I have seen mm-hmm. since moving from like an established building to a setup teardown.
Yeah.
Dude, it's been incredible.
Yeah.
It's been so fun yeah. to watch. And the opportunities there for training, the opportunities there for service, for people to, you know, serve alongside each other, for relationships to be formed. It's really, really neat. And I am a big fan of set up teardown. And I know some people absolutely loathe it. They hate it. They need like a dedicated space, but I really like it, man. Like it really has established one that the church is the church no matter where you meet.
Yeah.
It's not a building. It's a people.
Yeah.
Right. It's like Asgard. Right. Asgard was never a place. It was always a people. All right. And it has really increased the amount of interaction and I would say focus on being in each other's homes. Mm. And it was really, really cool to see, especially during the Christmas season,
mm-hmm.
You know, because Christmas season, I think, I don't know, it can bring a lot of pros and cons for certain people, especially in the church.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think one way that the setup teardown kind of helps is that it is really easy to plug into a local church like that mm-hmm. because it's like, oh, you're a young guy who's in his 20s. Help me set up and tear down on Sunday. Yeah.
And look at all these single ladies, you know, you need to show them how many chairs you can carry. Right? Get that, you get that four stack on each arm, dude. Now, you know, you'll be married by June. Don't worry about it.
So yeah, there's a level in which I think set up and tear down serves its purpose by plugging in people a little bit easier because there's a little mm-hmm. bit more there's more chores for everyone to go around, you know, kind of idea.
Yeah, for sure.
But we do only one service. So we're trying to stick to that whole one service, one shot, one kill kind of mentality.
Mark Dever would be proud of you.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
And I think that was our intention for the longest time. And the way that we're set up right now, if we move back to our old building and our current configuration, it would be like three services. And I would hate it.
No,
I would hate it.
It's just, I'm not a big, I mean, obviously, I think some churches, here's what I'll say about multi-service, right? Sundays. I think that they can be done, but they shouldn't be the norm.
Yeah.
It should be while, like, utilize the multi-service model while you're figuring something out.
Yeah.
Either move to a new location, enlarge the current building, or plant a church.
That's right? Kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We move to a middle school in order to do a one service location, and then we're trying to figure out, should we build?
Yeah.
Should we refit our current church building right now and build upon it? Because we do have some space to build, but we don't know what the zoning codes are or anything like that.
Sure.
Or do we plant a church? Do we go into a church that's dying and revitalize it?
Mm-hmm.
Do we buy a building?
Yeah, that always, there's a lot of, so I was part of a church that ended up doing that, and it can be done really well or it can be done so badly.
Yeah.
You know, coming into an already established church that, albeit, you know, is on its way out. Right. Mm-hmm. And the whole kind of revitalizing tactic, if it's really easy to do badly.
Yeah.
It can be done. I think it can be done. And I think it's awesome when it's done well. But with all of the different, you know, the differences in possibly polity, right? Church structure, expectations of the, you know, new people coming in, expectations of the people receiving, right? That this is the way we've done it. Now everything's going to change. It can be dicey. It can be dicey sometimes, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I always look at the fact that, like, I'm pretty sure if you look around and try and find the right Methodists who are dying off, you could probably talk to them.
The right Methodists?
And probably buy their building for cheap. That's just me.
Look for the Methodist church.
Just look for the liberal Methodists that are dying out already. Pretty sure you'll find something there.
Got to work it in the contract that, like, on Sunday morning when we use a building, the rainbow flag has to come down. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's just that's step one. Rainbow flag's got to come down. American flag's got to come off the stage. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
But it's always like you try and find, like, for us to try and find a dying congregation that and come to them. I mean, I've seen it done in very good ways, revitalizations, but I think it has to be done in a proper way and gone about in one way of, like, the dying congregation knowing, you know, okay, like, our time's up. We can't do this.
Yes. Yeah.
We need to, you know, sell our assets off or whatever.
It has to be something that's desired.
Yeah. So there needs to be, like, a mutual agreement there.
Right.
So,
yep.
We'll see what happens.
Sure. Are you guys doing anything, your church doing anything for Christmas?
Yeah. So we're in our original building for two Christmas Eve services.
Nice. That's awesome.
And then we're finishing up Advent next week.
Cool.
And then what else are we doing? I think that's it.
Nice. So, yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're finishing up. I'm wrapping up actually our Advent series this coming Sunday. I'm super excited. It's a series that I was able to put together called The Foreshadowed King. I was very, I enjoyed that title. And basically what we did is each elder took a passage in the Old Testament that foreshadows the Savior, right? Yeah. Multiple reasons wanted to do that. One, to showcase the fact that the Bible is a cohesive whole. Mm-hmm. Right? We do not believe in dispensations in our interpretation of Scripture, that everything points to the person of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So utilizing those Old Testament passages that show, look at how Christ was foreshadowed and foretold all the way back here, and we see the revealing of that ram in the thicket, right?
Yeah.
The snake on the pole in the coming of Christ. And that's the one that I decided to take is Numbers 21, talking about the snake on the pole.
Yeah.
And all those that look on the object of sin that was lifted up, if you look on it, you shall be healed, right? Mm-hmm. And how that brings a perspective into Advent and into Christmas that I think is really, really beneficial. Something that I'll talk about is that we often compartmentalize Christ when we, especially in Advent, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't help it. Like it is a time set aside specifically to celebrate the incarnation, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good, right? But it's important, I think, to remember not to divorce the manger from the cross, right? Yeah. And to not divorce the cross from the triumphant return of Christ, the fact that he's not, you know, he's no longer dead, right? Mm-hmm. So, because I don't know about something that I don't think I'll get into very much, but I do think it's important for people to hear it is that, you know, Christmas for a lot of folks isn't like, it's not a time of just all jolly, good time feelings. There's a lot of people that struggle kind of during the holidays.
Yep.
Right. I'm definitely one of them for sure. I think I struggle with the expectation that the holidays are supposed to have in my life. Like holidays are supposed to be this kind of, you know, it's time when everything's great and everything's good and you have good vibes and good feelings for, you know, a month and a half. And I don't know if it's just like a self-defeating prophecy or what, but like that expectation, it's always there. And it's never fulfilled for me, right? And studies like this really help to remind me of the depth of Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. Like the depth of it. And maybe I'm just like super like macabre or like, you know, like I've got like an emo phase, but like when I focus on somewhat, you can call it almost the darkness of Christmas. It actually causes my spirit to be lifted a little bit because like I see
it's too heavy metal, Josh. You're just,
I feel like it is, dude. I feel like I should, like I'm in the corner.
This is the thing.
Dun, 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 dun.
I'll say it right now. This might be a review. This is a review of your last song that you just put out.
Yeah.
I feel like that song could be way more yacht rock.
Yes.
If you just took out the hardcore guitarists and made it a little bit more jazzier, and that's
true. It's
that's
true. It. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Ready to Love Again. out on all platforms, Spotify and Apple. New song. I appreciate the plug, Jack. But yeah, that is happier than it is a very happy song.
Yeah.
And it's not one that like it's in a major key, which is odd. Like I prefer songs in minor keys. My favorite Christmas songs are like kind of the sad ones. Like it's true. I don't know if it's just me feeling my feelings, but I don't know, Jack. Like, is that something? Is that something that like hits you maybe to the same degree as me, or do you have the ability to be able to like, yeah, it's Christmas season. Like this is great. This is awesome. Like I feel like you're generally maybe a more jolly guy than I am.
I'm kind of 50-50 on it.
Okay,
so it's like 50% like. It can be a little bit more jollier.
Yeah.
50% a little bit more like, okay, give me the dark stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
give me the dark stuff.
you gotta balance stuff out here. I don't know. I wouldn't say like I'm completely jolly around the season. I feel like the season, I feel like the weather obviously makes it or breaks it for you, depending upon the Pacific Northwest and what you have. Like, I think we've had an enormous amount of sunny days here in Tacoma, which has kind of helped out a little bit. So I don't know. There's stuff like that, but then there's also stuff that goes on just in your personal life or something like that. It just depends upon what's going on in your family life. And I don't know. I'd say I'm 50-50 on that. I'm not I'm not totally leaning on the dark side of things.
Yeah.
But I also do want to, you know, kind of remain hopeful and have the hope lifted up out of my soul through through the Advent season. And then also too, like, people don't realize this, the Advent season going into the Christmas season, I think there's a difference.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In Advent versus Christmas. But Christmas is more, see, Advent is way more darker.
Yeah.
And then Christmas, and then like after Christmas, and then like the week and a half, 2 weeks after Christmas, I feel like that's more jolly season right there.
Okay.
I don't know. That's just me.
Well, no, I think it makes sense. Yeah. And it's, I think it's a good reminder for me to remember that. And, you know, honestly, for a lot of people in the local church, right, to remember that holiday seasons can be hard for people for different reasons. You know, we've got people in our church that I know holiday seasons are really rough because of family members that they've lost, you know, spouses that used to be there, or brothers or sisters or grandparents that used to be there. Right. And it's a hard time. It's one of those things that it's mixed with. It's happiness mixed with grief. It's a bittersweet thing because you are joyful for the time and the good memories that you have, but also it's a constant reminder of that, you know, we live in a fallen world. We do. And there's consequences to that.
Yeah.
And those consequences, you know, infect even the most joyous of times. And it's, I think it's important for us to remember to care for those people and to reach out to those people that we know, right? Because there are people in your church right now that are looking, you know, to Christmas coming up, and they're not having the happy feelings that you do, right? They're reminded of like the way things used to be, and that's hard for people, right? So I always try to make a point to, you know, whether it be, you know, during Advent season, whether it be in my pastoral prayers or in my sermons, to make sure to address that and to try to encourage those people and the fact that, you know what, you're not alone. You're not alone in that. Yeah. Right. And it's always kind of it's a balancing act because I don't want to just be a Debbie Downer. Right.
Yeah.
Which is why I always try to address both. Right. Like I think in the pastoral prayer I had last week, I think I tried to both address, you know, Lord, bring comfort to those that are hurting in this time and increase the joy that, you know, people who are in a joyful time that have that joy in their heart because of the season, increase that, because that's such a great thing, right? Yeah. That's an amazing thing too. So I don't know, man. I think it's a good reminder for us to remember to care for one another in the ways that each other need. Don't just blanket, you know, care, right? It's not like a cookie cutter care. It's a specific intentional investment into that individual, right? Because people need it, you know, and like things can be rough out there during Christmas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I'm always reminded that, you know, we participate in a program, in which we basically give out presents to families that have been affected by one of their loved ones who's incarcerated.
Oh, is that Angel Tree?
Yeah. So we do that. And that's, and I've done deliveries and prayed with those families like on those deliveries.
Yeah.
That's really, it's really, touching and hopeful to see them, that you get to like pray with them, that they have, like, I know one grandpa, like the kids were living with their grandparents because of the incarceration stuff. And the grandpa was like, oh man, this is going to really like lift their spirits up. And I prayed with them. I think that guy was a definite believer, but most of the families aren't. And so how do you witness Jesus in those moments to where those families don't have hope and you want to point them towards the ultimate hope
right.
of the world versus just material stuff? I mean, yeah. that comes and goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I think there's times like that where it's definitely, it reflects back on like, oh man, I could be in a way worse position in life
yeah.
than I am right now. So yeah, it is, you do have to kind of get out of your, get out of your own feels every now and then.
Sure.
And sure. look to trying helping people and what does that look like and how can I be a part of that in my local church? So,
yep, absolutely.
But yeah.
Yeah. Send the text, right? Send the text, mm-hmm. make the call, schedule the time just to provide that individual in your church that you might know is struggling through the season, provide them with some comfort and some community.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's normally relationships usually that are the kind of the catalyst or loss of relationships that kind of bring that sadness. So replacing that with godly, encouraging, Christ-centered community. It's what they need. It's what I need. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the best things that we can do. One of the best ways we can care for one another. So just a good reminder for myself and hopefully others through the holiday season. Yeah. Share the joy of Christ with your brothers and sisters. And sometimes mm-hmm. that means just putting an arm around them and say, hey, how you doing? Let's yep. get together. You know, that means a lot. It really does.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, we have we've switched up the order a little bit per, mm-hmm. The last a grab bag episode that we released last week, got a lot of really good reviews on it. People really enjoyed the more conversational. It's not that we're not conversational, but the more just kind of off the hip conversation style, and then moving the cigar reviews to the end. Mm-hmm. Right. So people like Ed and listener that I spoke with, Patrick.
Oh yeah,
I'm thinking of Ed and Patrick. He was like, yeah, now if it's at the end, I just know when to stop listening. It's literally what he said. Literally what he said. It was word for word.
Wow.
What he said. And I was like, you know, I want to be mad at it, but I can't. So it makes sense. It was quite savage. It was. It made a lot of sense. Yes, it did. So we're gonna get into the end of our programming here. But before we do, Jack, I have a little piece of news. I have a little some business that needs to be attended to.
Oh boy, here we go.
We have to hallow the name of an individual
mm-hmm.
that has taken the plunge, that has the pulled polar, the trigger.
The polar plunge,
right? That has answered the call to join the most exclusive Patreon group in podcast land, the Podluck. Mm. We're talking about the Reformatory Podcast mm-hmm. Patreon, ladies mm-hmm. and gentlemen. The name in which I am going to hallowed will be familiar to many of you. Jack, we have somewhat of a celebrity.
Oh, boy.
Somewhat of a celebrity that joined the Podluck, my friend. I'm talking about the one and the only Steve Lawson. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. People were wondering where he was. He was listening to the Patreon the whole time.
Oh, dear
no.
God.
I know. I'm sorry. No, we have, for realsies, real talk now. We have Kuiper Belt Productions,
aka
Reformed Funny Moments.
Oh wow!
The curator of such choice moments that we all know and love, that have been compiled in such excellent videos on YouTube. Reformed Funny Moments. Just Google it. That's all you got to do. He's got a great following. Has joined the Podluck, my friend.
Mm.
He has joined us, and I want to say thank you. I want to say fantastic, well done, and very, very excited to have Kuiper Belt Productions join us here in the Podluck, solidifying the Reformatory's place in history.
Yes.
So, our friends, you too can follow the lead of Reformed Funny Moments, Kuiper Belt Productions, and join the Podluck for $5 a month, right? That would be fantastic. The fire rises, Jack, as I say. Yes. It rises. Our oath has been fulfilled. Our pledge has been sealed. The name has been hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. Jack, my friend, why don't you hit us real quick with that cigar review, and we're going to get out of here, my friend.
Yeah, so we have been talking about Don Pepin Garcia cigars, so December is for Don Pepin.
Mm-hmm. Don Pepin?
This is the Don Pepin Garcia original Exquisitos cigar. Oh. It is a Toro, or some people have even said this is a Corona Gorda. Okay. Just depends on if you're that snobby when it comes to Vitola sizings. Pretty much a Nicaraguan Puro. Really sweet, apparently, of what Cigar Aficionado says. Milk chocolate hue. Like they even started off like trying to treat this as a very sweet first puffs of the cigar, very toasty and nutty. Also hints of just some earthiness, some almonds. They said this is like one of like the best like cigars as far as a Toro or Corona Gorda goes for Don Pepin cigars. Okay. So, and Nicaraguan Puro. The last time this was reviewed was in 2022, and I got a 91 rating.
All right. So, all right.
Josh. No slouch. I got to ask you, as I always do, my friend, your MSRP on the cigar, sir.
$12.75.
A little bit high.
See, this is what happens when I don't give a range.
8 to 11, ooh, sir. 8 to 11.
Right. Good range. So, I like that. Yes. Okay. All right. A little off my game. I'm just thinking about our Patreon, all the amazing people in there, which we got to go record some Patreon. So, Jack, my friend, ladies and gentlemen, we got a new structure, dude. It's going to take me a little bit to get used to this, okay? Yeah. If we're going to start, making it more conversational, all right? It's going to take me a little bit. But that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you know what to do, my friends. Go and smoke to the glory of God. And with that, Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here?
Friends, if you appreciate what Josh and I are doing and changing up the sequencing of this podcast so that we're giving
being somewhat flexible,
you're giving the people what they want. If you appreciate that your voice is heard
such
on this podcast,
sellouts. I know. Such sellouts.
Dude, we are doing this for the money, people. We are doing
right.
It.
Yeah, all we're the not. Money that I make on Patreon.
We're not, actually. It
pays for the podcast.
If you just appreciate Josh and I's conversational tone, I guess, in our podcast, talking about the local church, talking about what happened last Lord's Day, talking about what's going on in the future, and you want to get in on kind of, even if you want to get in on the podluck as well, too, we'll talk a little bit about that. But if you want to follow us and give us more episode ideas, drop us a DM, drop us certain comments or questions that you might have for us here on the podluck. You can follow us on the Sociables. Yes, those dastardly little things called the Sociables. The Metaverse, the Facebook, if you will. The Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow. Or the always interesting dumpster fire that is the Sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, if you will. Mm-hmm. All at the tag at Reformatory Pod. You can catch us on those major Sociables. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support our further endeavors. Yeah,
that's right. Multiple ways you can rate this podcast and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. We'd really appreciate that. Head on over to YouTube, subscribe to the Reformatory YouTube channel, like, comment, and hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. That'd be really awesome. Last but not least, as we've already announced, we have a Patreon. You can join the illustrious group up there. Just been joined by Kuiper Belt Productions, Reformed Funny Moments. All right, make sure to head on over to his YouTube channel, subscribe to him, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say, on his, while you're there subscribing to ours, and then pop over to the Reformatory Podluck. And for $5 a month, that's not even a Christmas drink. That's not even a smoked goose. That's not even the stuffing in the turkey. You could become a Patreon supporter, and if you do so, I pledge to you that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening. We will catch you next week on the next episode of the Reformatory.